In the broadcast business, Bob Costas is not only the gold standard when it comes to ability, you know, hosting, play-by-play, interviewing. I think Bob's best skill, for sure, in my opinion, is interviewing, but he has done hosting, play-by-play at a high level for a long time. And what's also the gold standard is how quickly it happened. The jump that he made doing sports radio in St. Louis, Sports Open Line at KMOX, and then going to NBC, not NBC Radio, but NBC Television. So he's a radio guy in St. Louis, extremely talented, obviously, but makes that jump to NBC TV and becomes their lead guy, hosting shows, doing MLB games of the week. I mean, it's an insane leap, and you've heard that story. The only thing I can think of late that's somewhat close, nothing compares to that, but Kevin Burkhardt on Fox Sports, the leap that he made, and I don't think it's been written enough, you know, the people who cover this stuff, sports media, but Kevin Burkhardt at the time, probably, you know, late 30s, he is the New York Mets TV pre- and post-game reporter. For the folks in St. Louis, he's like Jim Hayes. He does interviews, he does pre-game shows, post-game shows, and then Gary Cohn, Keith Hernandez, Ron Darling, those are, you know, the game announcers, but he was the sideline guy. He went from that to Fox Sports LA doing NFL football and hosting MLB playoff baseball, a pre- and post-game host. But let me say that again. He went from the New York Mets sideline guy to being number two to Joe Buck and Troy Aikman on the NFL broadcast. That doesn't happen. And that was a few years back, I think 2013. And he's done really well. He's a very accomplished announcer. I got a buddy of mine who works on the crew with Burkhardt, and he said he's the best guy. He's the greatest guy. Even though he's had success, same guy, easy to deal with, and very conversational, his style. So right now he's paired with Greg Olson on the NFL, started out with John Lynch. And even he admits in the conversation, I mean, not only does Fox say, hey, we're going to give you NFL football, we're going to pair you with John Lynch right out of the gate. I mean, that's unbelievable. But what I really like about Kevin's story is that he did radio in New Jersey. He's, you know, plugging away, cutting his teeth as a New Jersey guy. And at one point, start selling cars because needed money. And it's not always as glamorous. People, oh, must be nice. You work for Fox. Must be nice. Gee, I wouldn't mind that job. But there's always more to that story. There's a backstory, paying your dues. And he even said, I don't think I would have been good at Fox if I was, you know, 28 or 30. I needed to get some seasoning. So Kevin Burkhardt of Fox Sports is the guest on the Kilcoyne Conversation. Love his story. And just like hearing about people who are in the business who are good guys. Such an overused phrase, good guys, but by all accounts, that's exactly what Kevin is. I did have to give him a bit of a hard time because he does those baseball post-game shows. And as somebody who does sports on Fox, local affiliate at night in October, he's yucking it up with A-Rod and Big Poppy and Frank Thomas. I'm like, wrap it up, dude. Wrap it up. And then when they do, he says, hey, don't watch your local news. Flip over to FS1. I'm like, hey, dude, what are you doing? We've been sitting here all night waiting to get on the air. I had to rib him about that. So I don't know him at all, but a friend that does work with him said, you'll love him. He was willing to be on the show to talk about his career, working with Keith Hernandez and Ron Darling and Gary Cohn, growing up in Jersey, and getting this huge break at the network level. So Kevin Burkhardt is the guest. The Kilcoyne Conversation, as always, presented by Marie Davila Senior Living, Assisted Living, Villa Estates. They have all of it. MarieDavila.com is where you can take a virtual tour. Also, B&G Tuck Pointing. By now, you know the drill. They're the best in the bricks. If you have a brick home, brick garage, fireplace, if the tuck pointing is, well, if it's crappy, you know what it looks like. It looks crappy. Get it fixed. Rich Galati and the team will give you a free estimate. 363-0525. That's 314-363-0525. BGTuckPointing.com. Find out why they are the best in the bricks. Appliance Discounters, I lose track how many area locations, so the easiest thing to do is get online at theappliancediscounters.com. Christmas season, maybe you've been putting it off, that washer, the dryer, the refrigerator, the stove. Get it now at Appliance Discounters. You don't have to wait months. That's what you're being told everywhere else, not there. Get it quickly. Theappliancediscounters.com. Check out all the great General Electric merchandise, GE rebates available on top of the already low prices. They have a slogan, and it actually means something. Their savings are your savings. You'll find out what that means when you stop by and see the price tag. They go around and check the big box stores, put that price on there, and then they show you their price in comparison. It's always lower. Theappliancediscounters.com. And my great friends at Triad Bank, second location. Woody, you're listening. I know you are. Second location opened soon on Olive since 2005. St. Louis-based bank. TriadBanking.com. Original location on Clayton Road in Frontenac. And now a conversation with Kevin Burkhardt. You've seen him on your TV. You may not know his whole story. Hopefully after this interview, you will.
Well, Kevin, how does a Jersey guy adapt to being a Cali guy after all those years east? I know you moved west for a while. I'm curious about that. You know, I guess growing up East Coast, you're listening to Bon Jovi. You had to switch over to Sublime. I'm not sure, but what's that transition been like? Obviously, it's for the job, but I am curious about that as a longtime East Coast guy.
It's pretty easy. I mean, when it's 70 degrees in November, it's beach 20 degrees when you wake up. It's pretty simple math, right? Look, it's been great. I mean, yeah, I mean, my whole, you know, I grew up 40 years in New Jersey. My wife's, her family, we're all like Jersey roots, right? So when you move across the country and bring your family with you, your biggest worry is, okay, are they going to hate me after a year? And, you know, you uproot your whole life and you leave your family and your friends. And that's the biggest thing. So thankfully, they've enjoyed it as much as I have. And, you know, it actually, you know, yes, coming here for work, but it's been cool just in terms of a different life adventure, right? Just kind of spice it up and change it up when you're moving to a new place and meeting new people. So that part alone has been really, really fun. But yeah, I mean, the weather is pretty insane. It's, you know, people say, do you miss the East Coast? Of course, I miss my friends. I miss certain things about it. And that's like, that's in my blood, but I don't miss it that much in December when I'm shoveling snow.
So Mark DeRosa always said to us, when you talk to a Jersey guy, there's two things you got to ask. He said, first you ask the mile marker, and because nobody says where they're from, they just say mile marker.
Yeah.
And then he goes, you got to ask him Springsteen or Bon Jovi. And I said, can't you be both? And he's like, no, you got to pick. How about for you?
Yeah, I was mile marker. Well, I was a couple, but for the last, I don't know, 10 years or so I lived there, it was mile marker 98, Point Pleasant, New Jersey, great shore town. And I was a Bon Jovi guy. And, you know, yeah, I mean, I fit in all the stereotypes, man. Like, you know, that was my guy. So I don't know what it is. You know, I think there's like when you grow up there, there is, you know, there's a respect and you could listen to the music of the other person. Right. So Bruce, of course, but like you're a fanatic about one of them. You can't be it's like you can't be a Mets and a Yankees fan. If you are, you're a fraud. You got to be a fanatic about one. You know, and either hate the other one or maybe like have a respect, but not really like, you know, they're not your jam. That's kind of the way it works.
So I remember seeing you at Mets games. You'd come through Busch Stadium, working the sidelines on the Mets TV. And next thing I know, you're on my TV on Sundays calling the NFL. And I mean, it's a meteoric rise. You paid your dues, you worked hard, but man, it happened quick, didn't it, in terms of the network level?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it maybe happened quick to the outside, didn't happen quick to me because, you know, I wasn't a kid, you know, I mean, I'm 47 now. So, and that's fine. Like, you know, everyone gets their start in a different way and gets their break at a different time. I didn't get my break early. I worked at a lot of small places, a lot of small radio, doing minor league baseball and kind of working my way up and you know, selling cars for a little while. I did everything I could. And then when I got TV for the Mets, I was, 33 ish, something like that. And like, that was the real big break. And I did that for 8 years. And then I've been at Fox for a while since. So, you know, it took a while and I grinded but I don't think I would have been ready for it if I was one of the people that got that job early in my life. Like, you know, I marvel at Joe Buck doing what he did at such a young age, calling, you know, the World Series as you know, 20-year-old, I wouldn't have been even close to ready for that. So I'm kind of happy the way it happened. And, you know, kind of worked my way up, got on Fox's radar. And, you know, the one thing that was interesting is, you know, there was conversation there and I was hoping to land there. You know, I grew up a huge Fox fan as a kid, you know, Madden Summerall and, you know, that whole deal growing up. But when I first got hired, I thought I was going to do college football and just like a sampling of college football games. And then in a blank, my agent calls like, hey, you're going to do NFL games with John Lynch. And I'm like, what? So, I mean, I went from ecstatic just to be in the door to all of a sudden you're going to be teamed with, you know, this future Hall of Famer and do NFL games at a on a high crew. And it was pretty startling, that part of it. But it was cool. I was excited and, you know, thankfully I haven't screwed it up too bad.
How about the Mets duo there in the booth? I know there's Gerry Cohn calling the games, but you got Darling, Hernandez up there. And these guys, clips become viral all the time. You never know what Max is going to say. We know him fairly well here.
Yeah, you do.
How much fun is that crew to be around?
I mean, they're a national crew. You know, I mean, that's the thing. Like, you know, I training with them and learning with them and, you know, with our producer, Greg Picker, like they're as good as it gets in terms of calling a baseball game and they're fun. I mean, you guys know Keith, you have no idea what's going to come out of his mouth at any given time, whether it's on the air or off the air. But the beauty of him is what you see is what you get. And then you have, you know, Ron Darling, who is so savvy, sees everything, you know, went to Yale for a reason, great athlete, great pitcher. And Gary, who is as good as any play-by-play guy I've ever been around, guy who I actually grew up kind of idolizing. So to get to be around him, and he was kind enough to, not only are we good friends, but he was kind enough to kind of mentor me and help me as I'm learning how to do, you know, play-by-play on TV. I was a radio guy, so I didn't really have the TV chops. So he helped a lot with my growth in terms of how to get better, what to do, what not to do. So I was really fortunate.
So when you got the network gig, you'd obviously been doing radio and doing Mets TV. Is it still daunting at all? You're like, holy crap, this is Fox. I mean, this is the Madden Summerall channel. This is what I grew up watching. And by now, you've been doing it a while, but I just wonder early on, is it almost intimidating right out of the gate?
So the first game that I did, I was in New York, which was cool. I mean, you know, intimidating to a lot of people, but for me, it felt like a home game because, you know, that's where I was and I was on TV in New York. And, you know, I think it was probably a little of both, right? They figured, okay, you know, I was on the two crew, so we're getting a big game. And then it was, you know, let's throw him in New York and see how he does. But for me, I kind of liked that, you know, because even though it's a huge market, I felt at home. But there was a time, you know, we're about to go on the air. I was cool the whole week and excited, but good. And then, like, we're just about to go on the air for the Open. And I was like, holy shit, man. Like, this is the NFL on Fox that I'm doing. You know, I'm like in my hometown, essentially. Like, this is nuts. You know, and my heart started going a little bit. I was like, all right, take a breath. Like, let's just, you know, let's just calm down. And that was the one time where it really kind of hit me what I was doing. I mean, I always, every week, I appreciate what I'm doing. But that moment just before we went on TV was pretty wild. And I just kind of had to calm myself down. And the end of that game, it was a Jets-Tampa game. It came down to the wire. And I just remember our producer, Pete Macheska, who's been with me for 9 years, been at Fox forever. He's in the World Series for a long time. And he was just in my ear and he's like, all right, just remember, you know, take a breath, you know, just a couple quick things in my ear, just kind of get me through it. That was the first TV game I did for football. The last TV game I did for football was in college, you know, at our college television station. So there was a lot going on. You know, Pat Summerall was my guy. So I was always, okay, try to be less is more, but until you do it, how do you know? So getting through that one was fun. And, you know, I was like, all right, made it through the first one without totally killing my career. We'll see how week two goes.
Well, you're prominent on the NFL, but I wonder, do more people recognize your work on the baseball side because it's the playoffs and because it's, you know, you got the rock stars sitting there and it is like a rock show, right? Big Poppy and A-Rod and Frank Thomas. And I guess you got to be the ringleader, which good luck with that. Has that taken on a life of its own, though, that whole show?
Yeah, it really has. And to your point, you know, Martin, people, you know, some people that I talk to, and it's fine. I don't care. I don't need people to know necessarily who I am. But people are like, oh, I didn't know you do NFL. And it's funny. I'm like, yeah, I've done NFL for 9 years. But, you know, we're not on TV very often during the NFL, right? So we're on TV all the time when you're doing pre and post game. And it's been really fun with those guys. I mean, I've done that just as long, but the show has evolved and it's changed characters. And now we've had that core crew, you know, with Frank Thomas and David Ortiz and Alex Rodriguez, and Dontrell Willis does the pitching for us. And it's been really cool. I mean, those guys are, you said it, they're rock stars. They're larger than life, you know, and with everybody, everyone just reveres them, current players, you know, everyone loves them. And, you know, as you know, Martin, you've been in the industry a long time, like chemistry, you can work on it all you want. And sometimes you get lucky and it works. And sometimes you can work on it all you want. It's just not going to work. You know, it's one of those things. And with this group, it's three different guys and they all like and respect each other and it works. And it's fun. I mean, I think we found something there, you know, and we're kind of rolling with it. It's really gratifying. So, I mean, those shows are so much fun. Doesn't mean we don't work at it, but they've been a lot of fun. And, you know, look, you're looking at some of the shows around, you know, obviously inside the NBA, you're talking about NFL Sunday on Fox, done it for 25 years, like trying to get, we're not going to get necessarily to that overnight, but like, we're trying to have that kind of mojo and build a show where baseball fans know, okay, like, these guys are going to, you know, shoot the breeze and have fun for an hour after the game. So it's been cool being a part of something, which I think has been special.
Now, I know A-Rod's got his critics. He's not perfect, but there's something just, I just find likable about him. Like, I feel like if I'm in the room and having beers with him, I'd have a fucking blast. Like, I just have that feeling, you know, that even though he's larger than life, he just, I bet, is it fun hanging out? By the way, I heard there's plane rides sometimes too with the airplane rod. What's it called? Air Rod or something? But what's
Air like A-Rod is what we call it. Air A-Rod. So it's a good airline, Martin. Very good if you can get on it. Tickets are tough. You know, to answer your question, he's great. And I know people have their opinions on him. And, you know, he's the lightning rod, right? Like, people love him or hate him. And that's going to be, I don't know if you're going to change people's opinions, but I'll tell you, for me, he's been awesome since he started working for us. And, you know, he's treated me like a king. And I've tried to do the same for him. I mean, I think the thing for him, the one thing you look at for, you know, if you look at his body of work, we know he's a great player. And we know he's got stuff in his past that he admittedly has gone on record and saying that he's, you know, is ashamed of or sorry for, however you want to say it. But I don't know how you can be upset at someone. You know, we're in Fenway Park and they are killing him. I mean, crushing him with these chants, and some of them were really over the line, vulgar stuff. And he embraces it. He turns around, throws on a Yankee hat. He's like, you know, bring it on. He's made fun of himself on the show. You know, certain things have come up. You know, he's brought up unprompted about, you know, the Bronson Arroyo play when he, you know, slapped the ball away. He brought that up on his own and said, you know, what a mistake it was. I don't know how you can get on a guy that's self-deprecating and is, you know, kind of a apologizing for all of his, you know, past things that he didn't think were right at the time. I mean, the guy has done all that. So look, I love being around him. He's uber smart. He loves the game. And I really don't care like what he did in the past. You know, I just care who's sitting next to me when I do the shows, and he's been great.
And the only time I've ever sworn at Kevin Burkhardt on TV is I'm waiting to go on as a Fox affiliate. These games take forever. And then Kevin's like, stay tuned for your local news, but actually don't switch over to us on FS1. I'm like, hey, dude, we've been sitting here for 5 hours. We're not having them switch away.
Sorry about that, Martin. I know. I've had others tell me that. I'm just doing my job, man.
Oh, I know. I'm just kidding. We're sitting there like dying to get on the air, and the games take forever. What is the difference for you? In baseball, you call games with the Tampa Bay Rays. You host the pre- and post game. In terms of calling football and baseball, how different is that? How different is it? Football just seems tailor-made for TV, just with the pause and the analyst jumps in and then you get to call it. How do the two compare for you?
I mean, they're way different. And, you know, I think they couldn't be more different, but I think the one thing I know, and, you know, I'm not breaking any stories to you. You know this, you've done this. I think the key to everything. So I think it's really beneficial for me that I do both, because my point in both of those jobs is the same. And that's to be conversational, right? I want people to feel like they could come up to the bar, whether it's with me and Greg Olson and I, or whether it's with A-Rod, Poppy, Frank Thomas and myself, and pull up to the bar with us and have a cocktail and shoot the breeze. I think that's the same, whether you're doing a game or whether you're doing a studio show. I really do. I mean, the difference is in the game, obviously you're calling the plays, and you have to acknowledge things that are happening in front of you. I'm not saying that NFL games or talk shows. But what I am saying is you should have a conversational tone where, you know, people feel like they're part of the conversation. At least that's my philosophy. Everybody's got a different philosophy. That's how I try to do it. So while the sports are vastly different, my way and thought process of doing them is the same. I don't know if that makes sense, but that's what's in my head.
Yeah, you know, and I think what you said, and Joe's talked about it with us too. Yeah, I mean, you just, it should be, it's not even just, it's like a 3-hour conversation. It should have kind of a flow to it. I think that's what you're talking about. And yeah, you know, you're a New Jersey guy. I think most of us in the Midwest say, oh, he's probably from New York. We associate Jersey with New York, but there's a whole bunch of folks who are more Philly people because of where they lived in Jersey. And that was your team, right? You were an Eagles fan and you'd go to the vet. How did you survive? You didn't die and you went to the vet to see the Eagles.
It's funny. Like, you know, I mean, we all get into this because we're fans, right? I mean, I grew up, my whole family is Giants fans. I grew up in North Jersey. So I grew up, I don't know, 15 minutes away from Giants Stadium. So my whole family's Giants fans. But for whatever reason, when I was a kid, I loved like the Eagle stuffed animal that they had. I think they were called NFL huddles back in the day. And then I love Ron Jaworski. So, you know, when they played the Giants, I just was like, oh, I'm going to root against mom and dad here today, you know, and just kind of like, and then, you know, once you do that, it just sticks with you. So, yeah, that's how I grew up. You know, I grew up in North Jersey and then I lived in down the Jersey Shore, which is kind of like Eagles Giants mixed territory fan wise down there. But I did have season tickets to the Eagles when I got my license because they were not very good and there were season tickets available. So my buddies and I would go and go down. I mean, look, that's why I'm here. I'm a huge fan. Like I grew up with the NFL Sundays in my house, you know, go to the deli before, pick up all the food, you know, like that was Sunday. So like the fact that I get to do it now for a living is ridiculous.
Hal McCray was coaching with the Cardinals, obviously played in the league a long time.
Yeah,
I was talking to him once about the East Coast, and he said, the difference over there is the New York fans, they will get pissed off. The Philly fans show up pissed off. When you're in the stands, was it ever like violent or crazy? Did it live up to the reputation or the stereotype that we have of the vet back in the day?
Yes, it did. Yeah. But, you know, I mean, like there, you know, there are I definitely saw some stuff back in the day. I mean, there was a reason that they put the, you know, the judge in the cell downstairs at the old vet. There was some stuff that went on down there. But, you know, usually it was people, you know, it's just like everything else. There was always one or two people who were looking for it. Most of the people were there just to watch the game. So thankfully, I never had anything that I had to deal with. But I definitely saw some stuff that wasn't the most pleasant in the world. Especially when I brought my now wife to some of the games. It's like, all right, maybe we should get out of here.
Hey, you know, you threw it out there earlier, like you sold cars for a while. It goes back to this, you know, Kevin Burkhardt overnight sensation. You're like, no. That's not accurate. Tell me about that moment. Like you're selling cars, you're making money and doing the broadcasting on the side. If I told that Kevin that he'd be the number two guy in the NFL and five, I mean, would that guy have believed it then?
Yeah, you would have. I mean, I think that was, you know, that was my look. I always had confidence in myself. And that's not to sound cocky, but if you don't think you're any good, then you shouldn't be in this business. I mean, that's just reality, right? So I always believed in myself, but I just could not get anyone to return my calls. Like I could, you know, couldn't. How many times can you call people and send tapes and just not have a response? Like I tell me that I suck rather than don't call me back, you know? But I just got to a point where I was just fed up of not going anywhere. And I just kind of quit a lot of the local stuff I was doing and sold cars. I mean, I wouldn't be here today without that, though. That changed me in terms of just it kind of renewed my vigor where I felt kind of like beat down. I was like, gosh, like I feel like I'm good. Like I feel like I wasn't saying like back then I could do, you know, the number two NFL crew, but I felt like I was good. I felt like I belonged in the business and I was just kind of worn out. So I did the car thing to kind of, I don't know, just step back. And it was so big for so many reasons. I learned so many lessons about myself. I learned how to quite honestly ask for things. Cause if you don't ask for somebody to pay you for the car, you're not going to earn a commission and, you know, make your rent. So you learn real quick that you have to ask for things and negotiate and learn how to do that. And I never did that before. And so it helped, you know, when I would start, yeah, I just became a little bit more aggressive and be like, you know, to call people to force, you know, maybe not force, but to, you know, request meetings or request auditions, like give me a chance type deal, instead of just saying, you know, oh shucks, like no one's calling me back. So that was a big transition in my life. Like, you know, I get the question a lot, like, would you do it over? If you could do it over, would you, you know, if you could do it over and you were in this position at 25 years old, would you do it? Well, you know, I wouldn't. I really feel like the way that I got here helped make me become better at everything, just better person, better at what I do, kind of refocus. So it was a huge part of my life. But I think people look at that and like, oh, wow, like, you know, a full-time car salesman who never did broadcasting is doing NFL games. That wasn't the case. Like, you know, I did it. I just wasn't successful at it. And then, you know, luckily act two, I got some breaks and here I am.
I'm an idea guy, which my wife says it doesn't mean they're all good ideas. So Greg Olson, do you think he looks a little like Dexter, the actor, 6 feet under? Can you guys do a split screen one of these Sundays? I think it's complimentary to both. Do you see that?
Oh, he's heard that before. Okay. He is a monstrous human being, by the way. Like I'm relatively, like I'm 6'2". I'm not a small guy. And I come home and my wife's like, my God, you look so small standing next to Greg. I was like, well, he's so big. He's an NFL tight end. Like that's why.
And you called his high school games. Is that right?
I did, which is just wild. Yeah. He, you know, so my first job out of college, I was working at a radio station. It was, you'd appreciate this. It was a 1000 watt radio station that went off the air at night. Okay. So, but the one thing we did is we did high school sports. And I kind of, you know, the owner of the radio station was great. He kind of let me spearhead some of that. And like, I pushed for doing like, you know, some high school stuff. And so we did high school football, and his team, Wayne Hills, was a powerhouse in Northern New Jersey. His dad was the coach. And, you know, it's funny, like one of my first production meetings, you know, quote, if you will, was with his dad. We would go to his dad's office on Friday. And he would like show us tape. He would give us the breakdown of the roster, who's doing what, who's going to start. He was great. And he really helped us out. Like he would always give us the time. Like he were these knuckleheads, you know, they're, you know, 20-year-old knuckleheads who are asking about his left guard who's starting, you know, tomorrow, but he would give it to us. And, you know, at that time he had two kids on the team. His one son, Chris, was a quarterback and Greg was a tight end and defensive end. So I called not every game, but I called some of his games. I interviewed him after the games and now he's my partner. So it is wild how the world comes full circle sometimes.
All right. Final question. What out there sport wise, event wise, would you just love to have a shot at, even if it's just one time or even just for fun? I mean, we've thrown this at Joe Buck a few times and I'm like, it's going to be hard because Fox had him do bass fishing once. I covered him covering Robbie Knievel in Vegas, jumping over limousines. So I'm not sure what's left, but
I was going to say, what did Joe say? He's done everything. Like, how does he answer that?
Now that I'm rattling this off, like, I don't think he would probably say something really sarcastic, like, oh, I don't know, my kid's playing hopscotch. You know, I don't think I've ever gotten like Wimbledon out of him or, you know, Kentucky Derby. We end up making fun of all the weird shit he's covered, but is there an event that you would always love to do?
You know, I think I don't really know. You know, I'm not one of those guys that's like, oh, I've got to do, you know, the NCAA title game or I've got to do the Super Bowl. I mean, like if it happens in my life, great. But I'm not going to lose sleep if those, you know, whatever you call marquee events like don't happen. Like I feel like I'm in a pretty good spot and I'm enjoying life. I would say if I were to pick something and answer your question, it would be something that I have never done or come close to doing. So I grew up, my dad was a tennis player, you know, and we always loved US Open and Wimbledon. I got to go to Wimbledon a couple of years ago when we were there for Major League Baseball. And it was the coolest thing ever. One of my favorite things I've ever done, just going and walking around and watching. And that was like day two of the tournament. You know, I grew up a big Boris Becker fan. I don't know if you remember him.
Yeah.
German redhead. So would I love to just be a part of something like that? Yeah, that would be cool. Just something that I had never done, not even close to done, or like a sport. Like I've never done a hockey game in my life. You know, I would have to really do some prep and talk to people how to do it. But just to do it, that would be cool. You know, so I would choose something like that I'd never done before. That would be a unique experience for me.
Kevin, thanks for the time. We'll see you on our TV in St. Louis on an upcoming Sunday, I'm sure.
Martin, enjoyed it, man. Thank you.
It's impossible to know what somebody's really like. Your friends tell you, hey, he's a great guy. You spend 20, 30 minutes talking. And a lot of times these Zoom interviews we do, people out of town, we talk for 5 or 10 minutes before and after. Maybe not 5 or 10 in Kevin's case. Some people longer. But I don't know him that well. But just seems like a real down-to-earth guy. I meant to ask him, too. He doesn't have the East Coast accent. And maybe that's more of a New York thing than a Jersey thing. Although Joe Piscopo always said, I'm from Jersey, you from Jersey. Mile Marker, Springsteen, or Bon Jovi. That's the big Jersey. Any friends you meet from Jersey, you got to ask them that. Springsteen or Bon Jovi. I'm a Springsteen guy. I'm not going to hold that against Kevin. So appreciate him being on the show. Kevin Burkhart of Fox Sports. Look for him on Sundays doing NFL football and, of course, on baseball with Fox, hanging with A-Rod, flying with A-Rod. That's a whole podcast right there. Getting on the plane with A-Rod. How cool is that? Appreciate Kevin being on the show and for you checking it out. All segments, Spotify, iTunes, ScoopsWithDannyMac.com. Great website. Cardinal broadcaster Dan McLaughlin, daily content, so much great St. Louis information and a lot of featurey type segments. That's ideally what I'm providing too, is the featurey type stuff, but Dan's got a great website, ScoopsWithDannyMac.com. Thanks to our great sponsors, Triad Bank, Appliance Discounters, B&G Tuck Pointing, as well as Marie Davila Senior Living. We'll talk to you again soon.